The programme today comes from our studios in Maribor, and I'm really happy that the Irish ambassador to Slovenia has been happy to come from Ljubljana. I welcome to the studio His Excellency Miles Gieren.
I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's really nice to have you here and nice to let you see how our operation works here in Maribor. Let me just start at the very beginning. Your job is one of diplomacy, and I see that as utterly important, but give me your take on what you do.
As you probably know, diplomacy is one of the ancient trades. You often think, has it still got a relevance? I think it probably is more relevant than ever. Ireland certainly has a belief that there's a need to be represented in every EU country. That's why we have maintained our embassy network despite the challenges some years ago economically. And I think that has been proven to be a very valuable exercise, particularly in the context of Brexit. But even without Brexit, we're all European Union countries, and EU legislation is national legislation. So it's important that we're actually having an ongoing conversation, and rather than dipping in from other capitals across Europe on a secondary accreditation basis. It's also important to engage on a personal level. Technology is fantastic. We can now do video screens, but there's really no substitute for developing of personal relationships, which can break down misunderstandings. As anyone who has sent an email and believed that they had sent it in perfect clarity to the other person and then seen a response that they had not anticipated. So that's an example of, in a small way, of how diplomacy works today.
Yeah, and in a way, it seems that, yes, there are lots of ambassadors and so on who understand why they're there, but there are an awful lot of important people in countries saying things that I don't think they should be saying, lacking this skill of knowing how to approach another person.
Well, I certainly think that communication has changed. There's less of an appetite for long discourses. Perhaps this is one of the downsides of the technology that I spoke earlier, that certainly some people who want to deliver a message believe it should be very simple. My own view is that if you oversimplify, you actually miss some of the message. But clearly it works for some people, and that's what they have successfully used to good effect.
But you've just said it. You need to make contact with somebody. But it's really important that you sense how they receive your message, because otherwise, as you said, it may go astray.
Well, it's also true that, you know, as diplomats, we're engaging at different levels, at different points of contact. Some people just want you to encapsulate the idea in very short message, and that's fine too. So you have to do all that at the same time.
I asked you to choose music. Was that an interesting exercise?
Fascinating. It forced me to think. It first of all seemed like a large number, 8. Songs to come together, but then when you want to encapsulate your country, your
20
personality,
20 would be more appropriate.
Exactly. But then I still would be trying to compile the list. But then I actually narrowed it down to a couple of key points that I really wanted to emphasize. Nice. That are important for me, and I think that are important to get a message, as we were saying earlier, to your listeners about what is Ireland today, what it was in the past, and what we take from the past and learn from it.
How do we start?
We start with Phil Lynott and Old Town. I'm from Dublin. I was born in Dublin. I think, like most people, you're shaped by the town you were born in. I've travelled the world and have had the honour and privilege to represent my country across at least 2 continents. But there's no feeling like returning to your own hometown. Although Phil Lynott does not directly sing about Dublin, for me, he's talking about the Dublin that I knew, and certainly the Dublin of the late 1980s, early 1990s, certainly is evoked by this song. And I think it evokes Dublin for me, and it's also, I think, a great piece of music that brings together a number of influences that also reflect the many strands that are the culture of Dublin today.
The sound of Phil Lynott, and a fair city Dublin is, after all, isn't it?
Beautiful.
Full of history, full of character, full of amazing people. I just love the place.
It's also, I think it's very important, it's on the sea. And I think that really does shape a city as well. It gives you an outward look, you see, even if you're not particularly working close or in the docks, you have that sense that there's a world out there. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why I chose it, because although I like to go back to Dublin, it's also that sense of a port city is also, it's a sense that there's another world out there that you can also go and visit and also have a chance to come back to that great city.
Let's have a little bit of your journey from your education to doing the job you do. How did that path work out? What took you into diplomacy?
Diplomacy, it's you don't, well, most people, I would imagine, don't think that, you know, that's the job I want to do. I think that probably started off with a sense of an appreciation of history. In 1988, Dublin celebrated 1,000 years of history. And that sense of history and passing time and the sense that you have an opportunity to contribute at some point in your life to shaping the present and hopefully a little bit of the future. And it seemed to me that working in the diplomatic sphere would be an opportunity that I could marry my interest and I think some personal skills and attributes.
What's the training to do this? Not only you need to know history, but you need to know how to communicate with people. And that's, for some, is a difficult exercise.
You do. You need to communicate. You need to know why you're communicating. Because it's all very well to have the message.
Because you're not allowed to be political either. You can't come with our stance is this. You know, you've got to have a very open mind to the way that even your own country has different views to solutions.
You do come with an open mind, but you do come with a message as well. We're here to represent the country and the views.
And the government and that the stands government now, yeah,
that,
sure.
That is in place. And you deliver that message to your audience in the country in which you are posted. But also you're listening too, because it's rather than if you're just delivering a message, it's really not any good. In itself, because you need to actually be open to tailoring that message to the local audience. So that's one of the reasons why, as I mentioned earlier, it's important to have a physical presence in the country so that you can pick up the nuance. It's not all one region are the same. And also, though, we're all part of the European Union. So you're picking up ideas here, shaping, reporting back to Dublin, what's the particular perspective here, and hopefully shaping our own opinion as well. Maybe if I run through some of the areas that I started in the department working in the Anglo-Irish division on reconciliation projects in the north of Ireland. That is a fantastic foundation because it was and is one of our key priority areas. And when I go abroad and people ask me about the situation in Ireland, it's not just from a text that I'm explaining what the situation is. It really gives an impact when you can say, I was there, I spoke to people, I knew the situation myself. You can make it personal in terms of reconciliation, for example. You can give an example of working with a community group in X or Y and say, this worked and this is how I think other people might be able to draw inspiration from.
It's time for another piece of music.
My second piece is, and I mentioned earlier, the importance of Dublin being on the sea. And I do like to return to Dublin to see the Irish port, but when that's not possible, I like to go to the nearest seaside. And Ljubljana is a fantastic city, and it has a waterway, but unfortunately, the one downside is it doesn't have the sea.
Yes, quite.
But the sea is never far away from you in Slovenia, so I do try to get to the coast here as often as I can. So that's my second piece, is by Charles Trenet. It's called Le May, and it's something of an ode to the importance of the sea. And it also has a link because I also have a great fondness for France and the French people.
Moi aussi.
And in the last year, Ireland has become an observer of the Francophonie, in part to engage in a broader context in terms of international organizations. But also maybe an interesting fact for people in Slovenia is that French is the second most widely spoken and understood foreign language in Ireland.
The guest in the programme today is the Irish ambassador to Slovenia, His Excellency Miles Guerin. You were just explaining that French is the second most well-spoken language in Ireland. Explain why. Is that a Gaelic connection in some way?
No, again, like many things, it goes back in part to history, because that tended to be the language of the religious who tended to run schools in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And also, if you go back even further in our history, it was often forbidden in the past for Catholics to learn some centuries ago. So people went to study in France, particularly in France, Louvain, and in Spain. And people picked up the language there. So it's a long tradition of learning French.
So it becomes embedded in your culture as a result.
Exactly. And since then, over time, obviously, other languages have been added to the curriculum. And
you spoke about it in your introduction. Let's speak about the relationship between Slovenia and Ireland, because that's an important part of your job, of course, the most important part of your job. And there are quite a lot of Irish people working here, and I guess there are quite a lot of Slovenes working in Ireland, and then you've got the whole diplomatic relationship between the two.
Well, interestingly, there are not so many Irish people here and not so many Slovenian people in Ireland, but there is certainly a number in both countries. But that does not appear to have impeded a great interest in both countries for the other one. Mm-hmm. In part, I think this is we have a lot in common. We have a shared interest in sport, particularly when our home teams win, which we always like that. We also have a great interest in music and an appreciation. It's almost in the DNA here and in Ireland. I recall, if you're talking about my diplomatic career, I remember earlier in my diplomatic career in a posting abroad, I won't say which country, I was stopped by another diplomat and said, which country are you from? And I said, Ireland. And they said, oh, which musical instrument do you play? So there's this... unfortunately, I don't have a musical talent at all, so
it,
I had
it,
to...
It can be as little as a simple little penny whistle almost, can't it?
But I can't even play a penny whistle, I'm afraid, so that didn't work. So I had to disabuse them that everyone can play. But certainly most people in Ireland have a great natural ability to play music, and there's something similar here. I recall visiting a school and I heard fantastic music, and I went up afterwards and asked them, where can I get your CD? And they thought I was joking. It was fantastic music. It was really at a level that's extraordinary.
The musical level is very high, but Slovenia has a huge emphasis on musical education. All children have access, and it's encouraged really highly, and it's one of the reasons why I wouldn't dream of moving away. It's absolutely, for me, the key element. Young children and music, wow.
And sport, I believe, as well.
Of course, football, basketball, rowing.
Everyone does something. So you have a very good foundation in terms of commonality, in terms of everyday interests. You then, on top, the next layer is really, we're rather similar in terms of size, population, and history as well. So we both have a complex and sometimes dark history in the past, but we look forward to a brighter present and future, and that is another building block in terms of that relationship. In both countries, we have an interest, but we're not prisoners of the past. We can certainly learn from it. And we both also have a shared interest and belief in an international order based on rules and respect for the rule of law and for human rights. So all those building blocks are very good starting points for me in terms of developing the relationship between the two countries.
We can continue on. I need another piece of music. The whole business about this relationship between the countries is important.
My next choice is the theme music for The World at War, which some people may not be familiar with here in Slovenia, but was a groundbreaking piece of documentary work done by Thames Television in the UK in the 1970s, and was done just at the right time in terms of people who are still around since the Second World. And it told the story in all its aspects. Prior to that, documentary, certainly on TV and also in books and literature, tended to focus on one aspect or the other. This was groundbreaking, as I say, in terms of looking at the complex background, the various influences in the Second World War, but also the impact on everyday life and on people. And it had a profound effect, I think, at the time in terms of education. And it was, I believe, one of the most expensive documentary pieces ever done. It certainly stayed in my memory from a child watching it. We didn't get to see it in Ireland in the 1970s because we had to rely on little aerials that weren't very reliable.
Oh,
so
right.
You could watch it for about 10 minutes and then the picture would go. So we had to wait until the 1980s to see it in any great clarity when we had the what is now probably old technology, cable television, brought The World at War to us. Mm. So it's both nostalgia, it's also a fantastic piece of documentary, but it's, I think, also a reminder of the terrible history that shaped the post-war construction of the European Union, which has been very significant for Ireland. And
I remember at my time working in Galway, that, and this was very early in Irish membership of the European Union, the Irish seemed to me to be very quick to work out what they could use, what they could give within the European Union. There was a huge building a few miles outside Galway, and I asked somebody, what's this for? Why, you know, and entirely to understand every fine detail of business and grants and everything else from the European Union. And I kind of go, wow, that's very forward thinking so early on.
Yes, I mean, at our independence, we were very dependent on one market, the British market. And for the most part, we sold generic products. It was butter X, beef Y, without branding. And to develop in the modern world, you need to have brands and you need to have a basket of different markets.
Yeah. You can buy Irish butter here.
You can, and it's the best, and I would recommend people to try it as well. So it was important in terms of a good economic decision, but it's also in terms of shaping the world that we wanted to live in. Yeah. As a small independent country, you have limited capacity to influence. Sure. We now sit around a table with our European colleagues and get an opportunity to shape a common perspective and to bring our particular outlook on the world to that discussion.
And you've just named all the reasons that I don't understand what's going on in Brexit, frankly. I mean, excuse me, but the idea of peace and this level of communication and getting the best out of a huge society has to be an advantage than getting the best out of a small one.
Well, that's certainly the conclusion we had come to some time ago, and it's one that we continue to hold, and we certainly look forward to shaping the EU of the future.
In no way am I asking you to comment on the Brexit situation, but your considerable concern here must be keeping this open border between Northern Ireland and Ireland.
As I mentioned, I played a very small role in terms of reconciliation.
That's why I wrote the word reconciliation. I brought that
up.
Of
the Good Friday Agreement. Yep. And I remember being in the department waiting for the final text to come down from Belfast, which, as you know, was done on Good Friday. And when I used to travel north from Dublin, there was a very physical border, very evident border. You were checked, maybe for good reason, because of the security situation. The most tangible result of the Good Friday Agreement is the removal of that hard border, which has allowed people to meet with each other on both sides of the border freely, for the economies to grow together. In terms of products, now you have products that may several times move from one side of the border to the other. And of course, it has political significance because the Good Friday Agreement is based on a political consensus. So anything that would undermine that would be entirely unacceptable to my government.
And it's important that people meet people, isn't it? I mean, that's where we started in the whole diplomatic thing. And if you put hard borders between people, you end up creating misunderstandings.
Mm-hmm. Every situation has its unique characteristics, but there are examples of this maybe to vary or less degrees across Europe. There's an exhibition in the Museum of Contemporary History in Ljubljana, Undivided Cities, citing the examples of Berlin and Novogorica here in Slovenia in terms of the impact of physical borders. So perhaps in this country there is also an appreciation of that impact and how you can develop parallel cultures that can throw up misunderstandings.
Yeah. Let us lighten it with another piece of music.
Ireland, mentioned earlier, has French as the main foreign language, but we have two national languages. In addition to English, there is Irish. So I could not leave out an Irish music piece from my selection of eight. So I have picked by the Dubliners, again, the Dublin link, Roisce de Vaha Waille, which means welcome home. And again, it links to the earlier theme of that returning, that sense of pleasure of any time when the aeroplane lands back in Dublin, that you're back home.
The sound of the Dubliners, totally Irish, wonderful. I think it would be nice for you to do the advertisement for Ireland. You know, it's such a beautiful place for me, with so many different places. You've got the coast of the Atlantic and then the coast of the Irish Sea, and then on the southern coast it's different again with Cork and so on. It's an amazing place with such diversity.
Well, I think you've said it all yourself there, but let me add to that, that if you start your visit, for example, in Dublin, you get a very cosmopolitan city. You walk through the streets and you get a sense of a dynamic culture. You will certainly hear languages and accents from across the globe. Ireland's workforce is now 17% of people who are born abroad, and they work in mostly IT sector or in the services sector, and they have certainly enriched my city and my country, and they have brought a diversity that wasn't there, and it's been embraced by everybody mutually, and it has worked well and perhaps is an example for others maybe to reflect on. You then can move to perhaps Wicklow, which is called the Garden of Ireland, where the landscape is flowing and very ordered. And then as you move towards the west of Ireland, towards Galway, as I think you mentioned earlier, the terrain gets more rugged and
the
landscape
dramatic.
As you head towards the west coast and you're looking out from the rather calm although occasionally stormy Irish Sea, you move towards the ruggedness and varied landscape and weather of the West Coast with the influence of the Atlantic and then...
Which, of course, is really rugged, and in places the erosion of the sea has produced cliffs which are huge. Mm-hmm. From the top to the sea is just amazing.
Yes, and it's a good opportunity to reflect. Ireland has a population now of 6.6 million, which is lower than it was in the middle of the 19th century. So there's plenty of space for you to reflect on life and get away from that technology that we mentioned earlier. We have great food. Food has developed in recent times, perhaps influenced by that diversity of culture that we have in Ireland.
Beer's not bad.
No, that is true. And the whiskey and the distilleries are also good, which are going through something of renaissance.
Okay.
So I think you can have a very good time in Ireland. You can reflect, you can relax, you can enjoy sport, you can have good food. What more could you want?
And you've got inland waterways as well to enjoy.
We do,
the Shannon
and we
is
have
amazing.
Walkways and we have treks and... Yeah. Sports facilities that
Brilliant.
You can, and also I would recommend that people have the opportunity to go to places like Croke Park and to experience our national sports.
Mm-hmm. Another piece of music.
The next piece is Only a Woman's Heart, which is sung by Mary Black primarily, which I have picked because not only is it a fantastic piece of music, but it also recalls in my mind the importance of women in all our lives and also the often difficult experience of women through Irish history. Irish history has been very challenging, but perhaps it was particularly challenging for many of our women.
The sound of Mary Black and Only a Woman's Heart. You mentioned the connection between Slovenia and Ireland, but you didn't really talk about the business. What business operations are there here and how important is Slovenia to you?
Slovenia is clearly, from my now 18 months here, is certainly a home of very important small high-tech companies who produce very important pieces for larger pieces of equipment in the globe. And clearly there's a great talent here, not only for music, but also for innovation and for technology. Ireland, as I mentioned earlier, is a home for many of the high-tech companies, and Ireland also has a great base of indigenous technological companies and skills, which have both fed into this larger multinational presence, but also have produced many Irish companies that now operate on a global basis. I'd mentioned earlier in terms of diplomatic engagement and in terms of the cultural outreach by the embassy, but also a very important part of our role is promoting economic cooperation between our two countries. At the moment, it's relatively light in terms of the trade between both countries, but I think there is great scope to develop it further. I think we can both learn from each other in terms of what we bring to the marketplace. Mm. And also, we had recently a visit by the Minister for Agriculture, and we had some very good meetings here, and it was quite clear that we have beyond the interest and capacity to experience good food. We have somewhat complementary agricultural sectors Indeed. That could actually work very well together and also export to each other's countries. I know that the wine here is exceptionally good, and that's why Slovenians aren't exporting so much. But I think, for example, there, that Irish people who are experiencing other products when they travel abroad would be very keen to experience this great product. And equally, you mentioned that butter is available here, but some other products that I would think of aren't so widely available. We have a great selection of farmhouse cheeses, which I think would be of great interest to the consumer in Slovenia, and also some meat, a very high quality beef, and also some dairy products.
You do export, obviously, beer, because we see Guinness here for sure. Caffrey's?
I believe all the beer is available here in one
various
sort
places.
Of another. But
yeah.
But there is probably the single biggest export here is whiskey, which you see on most of
Indeed.
The supermarket shelves.
Indeed.
And clearly
yes.
it's appreciated here, which doesn't surprise me because it's a very discerning consumer here. So therefore they would appreciate a very good product. But if they have that experience, they should maybe widen it to other product range.
Mm.
Not stopping, of course, experiencing the great whiskey product that we
Absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely. Let's have another piece of music.
The next piece is Pie Jesu.
Beautiful.
A beautiful piece of music, which is good in its own right. But I see this selection of music as something of a journey in terms of life. And as we go through life, we lose people along the way, sadly. And then this is an opportunity to maybe reflect on people that we no longer have with us on our journey.
We come to the last part of the programme. Two more pieces of music, two very short pieces of conversation with my guest today, the Irish ambassador to Slovenia, His Excellency Miles Gearan. Miles, you have been here quite a long time. What is your view of Slovenia as a foreign person to this land?
It's funny you should say foreign person. I don't feel like a foreign
person often because you're very much made to feel at home,
and technically and officially I am, and I don't forget that either from time to time. But I do actually feel very much at home and very much welcomed here. So it's not made in any way difficult to operate here, which is a very sensible approach to engaging with resident missions.
Yes, it's a nice place to work, for sure.
It is.
And I guess you find here, because I certainly, with my contacts around embassies, actually it's very easy to make contacts. We're very open to making contacts, all the embassies.
Which is very similar to the Irish experience, I believe, in missions that are based in Dublin. We're both relatively small organisations in terms of the Departments of Foreign Affairs in Dublin and in Ljubljana. So therefore it's quite easy to connect with, who you need to talk to and to talk
the
to
the scale of the operations matches.
Exactly, quite similar. Yeah. And in terms
it is interesting, though, because you've used this word small a few times, and I don't see Ireland as particularly small. But for certain reasons, I don't see Slovenia as small either. And the words don't really come from me. They come from a previous Spanish ambassador who was constantly telling the people of Slovenia, stop saying you're small. Because if you look at what Slovenia has achieved in broadcasting, in so many areas, I mean, hydroelectric schemes, in IT, in, I don't know what, there's no point in me mentioning them, in engineering. Actually, Slovenia's right up there on a world stage with the best of the best.
When I refer to size, I'm referring to the physical presence of the island on this globe. But I'm certainly not...
But small countries can have a big impact.
Certainly, and that's certainly the ambition, the policy of the government is to have a global Ireland, to engage across the globe. Beyond having missions in all the EU countries, there's now a program of expanding our mission presence across the globe. In terms of engaging, we mentioned earlier in terms of the need to broaden our market access, and that is not just in the European Union, but it's across all the continents, and that's why we have this global perspective. But it's also we're also global citizens as well.
Yeah, you must have close contacts with America, because half of America came from Ireland, didn't it? I mean,
yes. Part of that dark history that I mentioned earlier, and this famine of the mid-19th century.
Yes, we're talking potatoes here, I guess.
We are indeed in the failure of that crop, and which will probably lead into my next song, which is New York, New York, because of that close connection. I served in Washington, D.C., and that's also a city that you feel is a bit like, in some respect, the Dublin of today, where you have a very multicultural presence.
We come to the very last little bit. An opportunity for you maybe to tell me things that are going on here that people might like to be aware of.
In terms of the embassy, we are looking at doing quite an extensive program of cultural events and outreach throughout the year. It had been the experience in the past that most of our focus in terms of diplomatic presence abroad tended to be around St. Patrick's Day, and that does remain important. And
what a surprise. Yes.
We've just come out of an intensive program of cultural events and a ministerial visit this year, and we had a high-level visit last year to Slovenia, which has, of course, taken place in the context of our building of that bilateral relationship that we discussed earlier. But I would like to see this programme of events take place throughout the year, and for people who have an interest in Ireland and Irish culture to contact the embassy, because it's not just about the embassy putting on things that we believe people want to see or hear, but also people contacting us in terms of ideas, suggestions, or just an interest in attending any of our events. I would look forward to having a number of events that would showcase Irish music, dance, but also I'm looking at this year, because of that shared interest in history that I mentioned, we will be facilitating the visit this year of a number of Irish historians or international historians who are based in Dublin to come here and to share their perspective with a Slovenian audience. We're also looking at bringing a number of Irish writers. Last year, we brought Roddy Doyle to Ljubljana to discuss his books and his work, and I think that was a very productive experience, and I would love to do something similar this year.
There was one here in Maribor at some point, I think the year before last, who was here writing poetry.
And we would do that again. And so I would ask people to maybe dip into our website at the Embassy of Ireland in Slovenia for updates, or to contact the Embassy of Ireland via that website to be added to our mailing list.
Excellent idea. It brings us to the end, I'm afraid. We have no more time to discuss lots of things we could have discussed, but we haven't got the time. How will we end musically?
We end musically because some of the music choices that I had were relatively backward-looking, which, of course, is important for us all because it shapes our present and our future. But my final piece is by a relatively new band called Notify, which is described as a Celtic jazz. And I have chosen the piece Vivivity to end this programme.
Ambassador Miles Guerin, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.